This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Happy Southern Hospitality Season 4 Premiere Day to all who celebrate. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have an interview with Joe Bradley and Maddie Reese. Of course, Joe and Maddie are a couple. They are very much central to this Southern Charm spinoff, which to me had its breakout season last season in season 3. And this season feels like they are poised to continue that momentum and really kind of solidify their spot on Bravo. I think the premiere is excellent. It literally picks up right where the reunion left off last year. And the reunion was very dramatic. It had the whole reveal from Maddie Reese that TJ and Brad and Mia and Emmy were in a group chat where some of them came up with an idea to fake that her boyfriend at the time, Trevor, had cheated on her. Turns out he never cheated on her. So that all came out at the last reunion. And of course, there was the Emmy and Will of it all. Will did not show up to the reunion. He said that it was going to be too hard on his mental health. And many saw that as him not sticking up for Emmy, letting her once again sort of to fend for herself. So that sort of sets the stage for where things pick up for season 4, literally in New York for the reunion. And it's fantastic reunion. I mean, obviously that is a big, complicated, twisted thread that we follow. But there's also another big source of drama that involves Michaels and Molly and Lake and various other people on the cast. And it just feels like everyone's locked in. Everybody's sort of down for this season to be dramatic and to kind of, again, just push it. But at the same time, it feels authentic and like genuine friend group drama. You definitely feel like the show plays into it a little bit, but not in a way that feels overbearing or put on. It feels natural. Like this is how they're reacting to their environment constantly changing. And yeah, it's just a really good episode. And I think it sets it up for a really great season. There's a to be continued at the end of the episode that ends in a screaming match. We find out about a breakup. We find out about a secret recording. We find out about somebody getting fired from Republic. There's a lot going on. And I think we're in for a treat this season. So to kick off this fourth season of Southern Hospitality, here's an interview with Joe Bradley and Maddie Reese. Tune into the Southern Hospitality season 4 premiere on Bravo at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight after Southern Charm, or stream it next day on Peacock. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you got your podcasts. We'll be back on Friday with our end of season deep dive for The Real Housewives of Potomac season 10. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Joe Bradley and Maddie Reese from Southern Hospitality, season 4 of which premieres on Wednesday, March 4th. You guys, the premiere is like out of this world. How are you feeling that it's about to be out? Because it's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy when the premiere kind of feels like a finale episode. So, with the new puppy, we've been a little bit sleep deprived recently. So watching that with one eye open yesterday was a truck hitting me. But we're excited. I was saying earlier, I think when you're in this world, you need to be that perfect combination of like excited and proud, but also nervous.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're not a little nervous, you didn't do your job, or you weren't living your true life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think so too.
And this is year 4 for us. And I feel like we're getting more this season. I feel like looking back on it, I feel like this season was like all three combined, like all the best things from all, like the energy, the drama, everything that happened, the growth, everything this season equates to like three of our past seasons. So it's exciting.
Well, I really feel like your third season was the breakout season for you guys in a lot of ways. And like this episode literally picks up minutes after the reunion. So it's like you're really not wasting any time. It's just, mm-hmm.
Does it feel like it's just sort of like this train that just, you know, you're chugging along and just not really stopping?
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I feel like I was gone. I went on a massive DJ tour and I feel like I was figuring out, you know, where my friendships lie, if, you know, I can be friends with a lot of the group. And I feel like I come in with that dynamic. But like for Emmy, for example, like they didn't really speak either since the reunion. And it's interesting because like I know we all work together in hospitality, but like majority of us, some of them only work during the day and some of us do the VIP bottle service at night. So it's like it was finally like all our paths are crossing and let's see where, you know, the dynamic stands today. And I feel like you're right. Like minutes into the premiere, it feels like it's right after the reunion.
Yeah. And I feel like Maddie, after the reunion, Maddie was either on her DJ tour or honestly, like in the hospital, she wasn't doing great. So I think for them, they're living their lives like like everything's good and grand. And then enters Maddie fucking Reese, and she's like, you know,
on my beta blocker.
Has all this pent up things that she would have. She's confrontational. Things that she would have said if she was still in town working with them. But I think it was warranted. But
yeah,
because but definitely she was a great episode. Like there was stuff with Joe and the boys, with Michaels and Molly, with me and. A lot of people in the group, like there was and Emmy in the group, there was a lot definitely to digest.
Yeah. So we hear that like essentially when you guys got back to the hotel after the reunion, people overheard Emmy and Will in their hotel room and there's like recordings of it and texts and all. It's like it's kind of this like intense package to start off the episode. Mm-hmm. And I guess for you guys, like what was your understanding of what was being said there and like how did that affect for both of you what had been said and come up at the reunion? Because I feel like it affected different people differently.
Yeah, there was this rumor that, you know, Brad was outside of her door recording her and there was this recording and I did listen to the recording. There wasn't much in this recording. And even Molly was like, everyone in this zip code could hear. Like, I didn't hear it. Joe didn't hear it.
Here's the thing though.
I definitely think that it was more like, oh, this is their room. Let's see what they're talking about kind of thing. I do think that in a way they probably were very thrilled to be able to take the heat off them for a second and put it on them. Emmy takes full accountability for that. So does Will. And they know that's what their intention was. But
the longer I think about it, though, after a reunion, I would love to see the percentage of people that after a reunion, after yelling at your friends or someone on your cast for four, sometimes 8 hours, some of these reunions, who wouldn't go back to their hotel and call their mom or call one of their friends and talk a little shit to just kind of like get it all out of you and just kind of like, you know.
And I think Emmy Will thought they were in a hotel room with the door closed, that they had their privacy and maybe that someone wouldn't be sitting outside recording the conversation, obviously. So I feel like that also shocked them, but I also... We knew that there was like rumors about that. And I know that Emmy felt a certain type of way about that, but we definitely didn't hear it. And they made it seem like everyone could hear them talking and they were in the privacy of their hotel room. So we didn't obviously hear that, even though most of us were staying on the same floor. But yeah, I just feel like in a way they wanted to find a way to pin everything on Emmy, especially because she spilled the beans on them and kind of told the truth about how calculated they can be kind of. So I kind of, you know, feel for Emmy in a way, but I also feel for TJ and Brad who feel like, you know, their reputation is on the line and they feel like they've been done wrong by Emmy and Will. And I understand that. But for us, we feel like Will has, you know, done Emmy wrong at some points of their relationship, but at the same time, like, you know, we love them and we spend a lot of time with Emmy. So, you know, we try to be there for her as she can, especially because I feel like she definitely struggles with confrontation.
Right.
Sometimes. Right. And dinner tables. Are
I just hate this. I just don't want to see anyone get ganged up on unless they absolutely deserve it. And like, it's just one of those things. It's very complicated. I see where they're coming from, but like, it doesn't need to, like I said earlier, like, If you don't handle dinner tables well on Bravo, like it's going to be tough for you.
That's the bread and butter. Yeah, exactly.
That's Emmy's kryptonite. Yeah.
That's the name of a game of reality TV is like, you got to be able to handle a dinner
table. The hard part is that like, obviously Will is no longer on the show. He didn't show up to the reunion. I feel like, and so she's kind of left to defend herself. And so it's nice that she does have you two in her corner at this point. I feel like their smoking gun, if you want to call it that, from the recordings or overhearing their hotel room was like, they made it sound like they heard Emmy sort of insinuate that using Will's mental health as an excuse not to show up to the reunion was like not actually what was going on.
But I had a beer with him the day before. I had a beer with him the day before and he seemed completely fine. I'm not saying people don't, men's mental health, I take that very seriously.
Right, right, so of course.
People can suffer, like some of the worst cases, people do suffer in silence. But it's hard for me to have that much empathy when I'm looking at my girlfriend who's literally having a panic attack in front of me. And she shows up and she takes it on the chin. So it's hard for me to have empathy when I just, when Maddie could somehow pull it off and he couldn't, when he like shook my hand.
I think everyone and us included were upset that Will didn't show up, especially like I was having a full blown panic attack and I felt like I still showed up. And I think Will was scared it was going to be a bloodbath, but like, it was a bloodbath anyway. And to leave your girlfriend in that position where she can handle the bloodbath and I'm going to sit back and not deal, like that doesn't give like man energy to me. I would literally like kill him. I would kill him. Oh my God.
I would do it myself.
I would kill him. So we both were disappointed in Will for that.
Yeah, for sure.
And we were disappointed in, you know, them kind of, you know, celebrating the way, they turned everything, but they've taken full accountability for that and taken full ownership for that. And I think they just wanted to put it out there to say, you know, especially Emmy, I think she's more so like, what if this same situation happened to me that they did to Maddie?
Right. So throughout the premiere, Maddie, like we see that like, obviously you are still kind of, you've struggled with this whole thing in the aftermath of all this. It was a really intense situation. And, you know, Joe, you also help explain that part of it. And then from the flip side, we see Brad be like, well, I apologize. And we went out that night and Maddie was hugging me or whatever. So like, I guess from Maddie, from your perspective, just in your words, what were you still looking for from Brad and TJ and Mia that you had not gotten from them?
Yeah, I was after the reunion, like even with all the drama and stuff, we're all staying in the same hotel. Like usually we after the reunion, we'll have a drink at the bar at the bottom of the place. We stay at the Dream Hotel, the Tao, and there's another restaurant right underneath it. So we usually, you know, all have a drink and stuff like that. But the thing is after the reunion, Emmy reached out to me. She came over to my house. She brought me food. We sent me workout classes. Like she really, really put in effort to be my friend. And over time, I appreciated that. You know, she came to me and told me the truth, and this would have been a completely different situation. I probably would never talk to Emmy again if TJ, Brad, or Mia decided to be honest with me versus hearing from Emmy. I think that Emmy also just made that attempt to be my friend. I feel like after the reunion, I didn't really see or have any attempt from the three of them. I don't think they were ever been kind of more interested in having a relationship with me.
I also think he goes deeper than I really do think Brad and TJ are kind of the puppet masters in this. And I also really believe that when you go through something traumatic and something bad, you're not going to be able to cope with that and express your feelings and just hug it out and everything's good.
Totally.
Minutes after of a reunion or a very like stressful, traumatic experience. So when the dust settles, sometimes it's a delayed reaction. And that's what happened with Maddie. That's what we had to go through.
And I also feel like at that night at the reunion or whatever it is, when we were at the bar and they came up to me and I was like, I don't want to talk about it. It's because I have had three panic attacks already. I'm emotionally drained, but they never tried to talk about it again or try to have a friendship with me.
Like, all right, we're good now, right, guys?
Yeah, like, let's never talk about this again.
But then the cameras go up and it's kind of... oh, we did everything that we should have done kind of thing. That's kind of what they were. Is that?
Yeah. Where months between we started filming, like Emmy made an active effort to be my friend, to show up for me. And I really appreciated that. And honestly, I was kind of shocked by it a little bit. Like it was a little unexpected, but I'm so grateful because Emmy and I have had like really hard times and to be where we are right now. I definitely think that there's faults with some of the things that Emmy has done with her actions, but I'm not perfect either. So,
well, I think there's something to be said about being able to rebuild a friendship, and I think it speaks to like the strength of the like base level connection and bond.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Joe, for you, like, we see you meet up with the boys, and I'm curious how this whole thing has affected your friendships with TJ and Brad, because obviously you and TJ had a whole thing last season that was difficult for your friendship. Like, what was the effect on those relationships?
My thing is like, I don't know. I'm still working on confrontation. Like, you know, like, I don't know if you remember me back at Michigan, but I didn't really have any confrontation. Like, I always kind of was just the party guy, and
right,
everything's always a good time.
Yeah.
Joey Bottles was in college too, but
sure.
I'm really working on that, and I think like people can drag my name, you can come after me, but I really was hurt for what they did to Maddie, and it's really this season, it's really hard for me to like look these guys in the face after just being so used to like always having guy friends around me and to be able to trust them. After what they did to me, but what they did to Maddie, it's really going to be hard to come back from that fully.
And I think at the end of the day that Joe wants guy friends and wants to have boys' night and all this stuff, but it's difficult when the guys once spread a horrible rumor about you and your sexuality, and then the other person, you know, tends to fall in line with him. And I feel like for him, he's trying to find his dynamic, but at the same time, he wants guy friends and wants to be able to mend those relationships.
I'm a forgiving person, but
he's way more forgiving than me. But time heals all wounds.
Last question about this whole thing is like, obviously, we found out at the reunion that like the whole cheating thing about Trevor was not true. And so I feel like, Maddie, for you, I'm guessing that's part of this whole thing is like processing that it wasn't true, but that's, you had broken up after that. How does that affect how you like look back at a relationship now that you're in this also great relationship with Joe? Like, that's confusing.
Yeah. And I think I explained it to a T on the show. I was just, in no world did I ever expect that, like, oh, you're going to believe your partner over your friends. Like, that's not normal. I don't think, like, usually when your friends come to you and tell you something, usually, you know, you believe them and they're telling the truth. So I think it was a really hard pill for me to swallow that a man was telling the truth. Like, in what fucking world? Like, I feel like that was a really hard pill for me to swallow. And I had a lot of guilt about that because, you know, during the time of the show and going back, you know, Trevor and I would get in screaming arguments about this stuff. Like, I would say, they keep saying you cheated on me even after the fact. And to feel that
it's harder
I was
reality
told a lie the whole time and he was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Was really tough. Hard pill for me to swallow. And I had a lot of guilt and just what world is the man telling the truth? Like, that's just
I will give it to like Emmy and Will. After all those cheating allegations, the way they were able to stay together, I give them props because in this world, even if it's completely not true and someone's saying it, it's a really hard thing to cope with and like bounce back from. Like, really fucking hard.
I believe that. Yeah. And it's also like, it's like on reality TV, once something's out there again, even if it's not true, like some viewers might not remember the update that it wasn't true or like the, you know what I mean? It's like out there.
Yeah, right? They just, that seed is planted in their head. That person's a cheater. And I'm not defending this guy. I fucking hate her ex-boyfriend, but.
Noted. Noted. Yeah. Joe, for you in the premiere, you get a little, you take a hit from Michaels who criticizes you for never being at work because you're always out supporting Maddie on her DJ tour. Is there anything you want to clear up about that?
I want Michaels to find love so he can support his new man one day. I'm just kidding. Me and Michaels are very close, and he definitely holds me accountable, just like I hold him accountable later this season. And it's all out of love with him. Like, he's one of those friends that, like, we can, like, kind of, you know, give each other shit, but it's out of love, and it's, like, it's like a brother relationship.
Yeah.
I was at Republic way before him, and I remember him teaching him some stuff too. So I'm really proud of him, and I'm glad he called me out on it. But at the same time, like,
I also don't think that Joe was like skipping out of work to go see my DJ careers. I think that unfolds more this season of like how he feels like maybe, you know, he's been a host for years and he's not growing, and what does his future look like. And I don't think it was just like to support me on tour as much as it he was like, what's my next step? I'm, you know, getting older and I have dreams. And I think that you see that play out this season, and especially with Leva, and even I kind of get involved of like, you know, trying to help him find his way.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. She's everything she said. It's almost to the point where like I've created this identity and I had all this fulfillment, because finally, after failing out of school and like not being able to like pick a job I loved, I found this big identity on King Street at Republic. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of hit this, you know, crossroads. I'm turning 30 years old and I'm not growing anymore. So like, I love this industry, but like, do I need to pivot? Like, how do I grow in this situation? And it's, I think a lot of people can relate to that. I think a lot of people hit a point in their career where they're not growing and they kind of freak out a little bit and lose motivation. So I don't think what I'm going through is anything that crazy, but I think it's really important for the stage of my life. You know,
I also think it's going to be refreshing to see people, you talk about that, because it's, again, it's not something that's often talked about. And like, it was talked about in Salt Lake City where Whitney's business didn't work. And like, when she opened up about that, that was like received so well, because people only want to show their successes and what's
I love how like. Vulnerable she was when she owned her shit. And I really try to do that this season. And
good.
It's tough because I want people to like invest in me. And like, if they're watching this on the show, be like, oh, this guy doesn't have his shit together, but it's real. It's my real life. I just got to own it. And I can't be Fugazi and just trying to like.
And Joe's definitely grown from that as well. Like what he has gone through this summer, he's definitely grown from it and has learned like, okay, maybe drinking too much, I've lost my way with Leva or my job, or like maybe I need to dial more into, you know, these certain goals versus these certain goals. So I think you really see that transition for Joe where he's like, you know, these are my dreams and how do I achieve them?
Yeah, they're not, no one's going to do it for me. So
I
can't keep coasting and getting away with all this shit, but it's just a, it's a coming of age.
It's also easier said than done when like your professional career is so, you know, intricately tied to like partying. And that's a hard thing to separate and like do it correctly. Like that's, of course, it's going to take some, you know, so it makes sense.
That's what I'm working on right now. I haven't really been drinking at all. And I'm just like, if I want to stay in this industry, I got to be able to learn to master it.
Yeah.
And I started losing a little bit of control this past summer. So that balance, and it's, if you can master it like Maddie has, it's a superpower. But if you can't, it's not going to work out well.
Mm-hmm. So what are we going to see in terms of like updates on your relationship and how you guys are thinking about your future this season? Because we get a little bit of breadcrumbs of that in the premiere. But obviously you just got your dog, Ozzy, who just introduced me to before we started recording. What tease a little bit what we're going to kind of get from you guys in that regard?
I think that this season, it's, like I said, a very transitional season all around for our relationships with the group and the dynamic, for our careers, our future, everything. So you're also going to see conversations about what's the next steps for us, whether even independently, if it's career, you know, together, moving in together, or you know, what that next step is for us. I decide this year, even like kids come into conversation, like kids, marriage, moving in together, like everything you will see this season. And even freezing my eggs was a huge journey I go on this season as well. And I think you're just going to see all the cards on the table with what our timeline is and what our future
I'm trying to cope with the idea of even turning 30, and then everyone's like, "All right,
I've been there.
Time's up, buddy. You're screwed."
30s are great, Joe.
The diaper bag. I'm like, I don't even know what I want to do with my career. Like, calm down. So it's just one of those things where we have a lot of strong people around us. Like, I'm surrounded by a lot of strong women in my life. You know, my mom, Leva, her mom, mm-hmm. probably might be the strongest one of all. But It's a lot, but I think we just kind of get to that point where like, what's best for us? We can't always just like, you know, listen to whatever.
We have those hard conversations so we can set our future up with success.
Yeah, of course.
As much as it might be like, oh, they might be having a disagreement on this. It's like the reason for that disagreement is to set our future up for success and like what those next steps look like.
It's exciting. It's ultimately an exciting thing, you know, like,
and yes.
And I think the reality TV forces you to have those conversations maybe that people are too afraid to have and outside of
100%.
Right. So
yeah,
it's not a bad thing.
We kept saying that like it was the year of the snake and to like figure all that out and shed all the things we needed to shed. And this year, the year of the horse is like the action year. We're like, gonna get the dog.
We learned from,
buy a house.
We learned from what we went through last year. But I think, you know, every year we're going to have to shed and move forward too, though. It's just part of it. But yeah, we're really excited. We definitely didn't shy away or hide anything from the cameras this season, which being in this world, we're proud of that. But it comes with the price of having to rewatch it. But you know what?
Yeah.
We're here for it. It's what we signed up for.
Exactly. What is your read on what is going down between Michaels and Molly and Lake? Because that's the other big kind of half of the episode. And it's hard to tell sort of where to land.
Yeah, I think that, you know, both of them have some truth in their side. But at the end of the day, I do think that, you know, the two of them at some point did have a close friendship with Molly. But then Molly, you know, decided to side with different people. And I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, the way that she sided with Michael's ex and then also with like TJ and Brad and Mia, like. And I feel like that rubbed Michaels and Lake and a lot of people the wrong way. And I do think that, I don't know, like even with Molly being like fired and her being like Michaels having something to do with that. At the end of the day, I had Michaels' job for 7 years. You can, you know, have opinions, but you can't at the end of the day fire or hire someone. And I know Molly, you know, had issues with other bartenders and other staff at the workplace that led to her firing. And I really don't think that it had anything to do with like Michael's doesn't
personal.
Have that much power. Yeah. Like he's not Leva Bonaparte. Like he doesn't have that much power to like,
he can call the cops though.
And that's what he threatened. So
yeah.
But at the end of the day,
he's got some power. Yeah.
Michael's okay.
Michael's maybe in his job position share opinions, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have the power to fire her. There was actions that Molly did, like not showing up, fighting with other bartenders, getting bad reviews that led to her firing. And maybe, you know, Michael's can share opinions, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have the power to actually fire someone. That's just my point of view.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
It
makes sense for her to jump there. But if it's not the reality of his power, then he can't, that it's not the truth. So
Lev is also 5 feet away in this moment. So it's like,
I just had a job for 7 years. Like
I know it.
I knew that. So it would be a weird case, I think, if now the rules were changed and like all of a sudden the VIP manager can hire and fire people. You know, you can have opinions.
But... I love Michaels to death. He's got a crazy, crazy summer. But, you know, I think the world can finally realize that even Michaels Pena isn't perfect. Yeah. Even the perfect specimen of a human has a little bit of fault to him, too.
I also love in the episode how they, like, were able to apologize to each other so quickly. Like, all in the same episode.
It felt genuine too to me.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah. And they were also still like, all right, let's move forward, but like in a careful way. I liked that. The episode does end with a screaming match. It's intense. Is that, is that a preview of where things are going to go for you guys? Is that sort of the low point for this relationship that you guys have? And like, is there hope for you and Brad and TJ to bury the hatchet?
Yeah. Like I said, after the reunion, I more so was like, I'm never going to be friends with this group again. But at the same time, you know, I've learned that when you have resentment, the best thing to do is to talk about it and work through it so you can get on the other side. And I'm really hopeful to get on the other side. So I definitely think that it was a low moment for the season between us, and the rest of the season, it's more about growth and maybe me being on the path to ever be able to trust them again. It's hard because the episode does continue. It says to be continued, it obviously, you know, continues more. And I try to express, you know, where my hurt is really coming from. But I also feel like that I was, you know, having anger and feelings because I also felt like I had to defend myself and be defensive on people that have gaslit me, lied to me, and manipulated me for years, but also manipulated the world and the audience and Bravo and all these people. And I felt like I needed to be able to stand on 10 toes. And, you know, sometimes I'm not proud of the way that I can like see red and like I have a dark passenger for sure. And I wish I maybe, you know, had a more level-headed conversation, but I, at the end of the day,
it was months and months of building up. And in my opinion, when I looking back on it, even in the moment, I'm like, we just lock them in a room and just duke it out. Like,
yeah, that's what needed to happen at the end of the day. Like, it's something that needed to happen to be able to move forward. But it just was really hard for me because, you know, through all the years of the dishonesty, I really thought that TJ and Brad and Mia and I were in a really good place, especially last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in a place where I trusted them. I thought we were in a good place. And, you know, Emmy and I weren't on the best, you know, place in our friendship. I mean, she tried to come for my job the season before. The next season, I hear her boyfriend talking shit about her. And I just, we weren't in the best place. So I'm really proud to see where, you know, Emmy and I's friendship has come. But with them, I was really, really, really hurt. And I just think for them,
yeah,
I think I had to rethink everything. And for them, I don't think they ever really liked me or wanted to be my friends, just to be brutally honest, when I thought we had genuine friendships. We would go on vacations together. I would invite TJ to be around my family and things like that, where I felt like, what is this relationship in the first place? And right now, coming into this, it's seeming like you guys aren't interested in having, you know, a real friendship with me in the first place. So I think I just wanted to get to the bottom of that and figure that out. And the only way to really do so is to confront your issues head on and talk about it. That's definitely one of my superpowers, but I definitely confrontation, but I definitely feel like my weakness is maybe how I can go about it sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, but as you guys said, like it had been bubbling up in you, and so it makes sense to sort of
I can see red, and I'm definitely maybe not super proud of how I was going around serving the hot dog.
I also want people to know that we filmed this summer, just to put this like on the record, we filmed this summer in like a record hottest months of Charleston heat too, so
it was not using that in your head kind of all season,
but just to add that in as a factor for season four.
Okay, the last question that Maddie, when you were talking, I was thinking about, I feel like I don't even remember if on the reunion we got an answer about this, but like them crafting the whole narrative about Trevor, was the motivation to like help the show and have it have this big moment, like at the expense of your relationship, or like do you know what the motivation was behind the whole thing?
I think the motivation was more so about
the dumpster.
Yeah. And my,
okay,
their
about
reputation.
You payback for
I
that.
I think that TJ, Mia, and Brad all have things on each other. And I think that I tend to bring that to the light. And I think that they don't like that because it hurts their reputation. And I think that, you know, I've learned maybe sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut, but you know, sometimes I can't help myself of telling and speaking like the truth or things that I've seen. And I think that their motive at the end of the day was to be able to hurt me so their reputation could be salvaged or saved. And I think they're just three type of people that are so concerned about their reputation that they tend not to
Let's put it on someone else so we can be on the other side of it and we're safe.
Yeah, they tend to talk about other people more than they talk about themselves and their personal stories. And, you know, I will say, I think that, you know, Michael's really puts it all out there this season. And I feel like he has a hard time with that this summer. And I think there's, you know, plenty of people that have put it out there, but I think for them, I think they rather, you know, save their reputations and put it on someone else. Yeah, of course, like making the show good is like a motive and a thing at the end of the day. But I think regardless, we're a group of friends. Regardless, I think the show would be amazing.
I think so too. I just didn't know if that was sort of part of what informed what they were trying to create, you know, because it was...
I think it was a little bit tit for tat and he just took it way too far. Because like when Maddie saw him at the dumpster, he was talking to that girl for like 2 days. This was like a long-term relationship for me.
Yeah.
Wasn't tit for tat. It was like this
thing. The crime doesn't fit the punishment.
The punishment doesn't fit the crime. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that girl, when I saw him with another girl in the back alleyway, and like, I will take full accountability if like he wasn't getting his dick sucked, but something sexual and inappropriate was happening with this other girl. The girl that I was talking about, went on like 2 dates with his girlfriend at the time. This was my 5-year.
This flipped her world upside down. Yeah.
Relationship. I lived with him. I owned properties with him. I owned cars with him. Leaving that relationship was extremely difficult. And I just don't think the crime fit the punishment. And I am just so shocked they were able to sleep at the end of the night every night, honestly. But that's why I was so angry and I had my feelings. But I do think that time heals all wounds. And I think that in the premiere, this is the lowest you see us as. And the rest is just a moving on to a point where we can all, you know, be cordial.
It doesn't happen overnight, though. It doesn't happen overnight. But she's not throwing cutoffs to the ground.
Got it.
Cutouts of other people.
I'm not throwing tantrums. I think
we don't want it to happen overnight. We want to see the process. You know, we want to see that rebuilding.
The conversations definitely turn to be more constructive. And
there we go.
Moving forward after this premiere, 100%.
Well, Maddie and Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time today and congrats, new dog parents. I mean, your son is very handsome.
There he is.
Look at him.
I need to get him a Michigan bandana.
A star. Yeah. I'm like, come on. Yeah. Maize and blue, please.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And season 4, I can tell it's going to be, you know, another banger from you guys. So
yeah, it's going to be a really good season.
Yeah, we hope to see you soon in person.
I hope so,
yes,
too.
Yes, we love right, you. We were so excited to see you today.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgabe@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.